Turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Text this morning is verses 15 through 17. We'll read through verse 30. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. I read the word of God to that point. The text this morning is verses 15, 16, and 17 of the chapter. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Beloved, a big part of the Christian life is priorities. We must make priorities with respect to our own lives as adults, priorities with regard to our time, how we use our money. But as parents, we must also make priorities for our children. As parents, we have direct control over our children's lives when they are young. And we therefore have the opportunity to teach them priorities in life as they grow up. The problem is that the world's set of priorities is very much different from the priorities of those who are in the body of Jesus Christ. Constantly, therefore, we as Christian parents must be examining ourselves and asking ourselves if we are being influenced by the world in the way that we parent our children. We must take initiative as parents. We must really take time to think and to talk with each other about what we are doing and how the decisions that we are making are affecting our children's lives as they're being brought up. There's many questions to answer, many decisions to make as a parent raising children. How much, if any, TV should we let them watch? What kinds of things should we let them watch? All kinds of questions. You could make a long list, things that parents have to decide. What's going to go on in my home? These are things that we need to pray about and talk about with each other. And these are things that we need to use the Scriptures as we make decisions. What the Scriptures do, beloved, is give us spiritual principles that require of us spirituality as we make decisions in the raising of our children. It gives us spiritual priorities that we ought to have as we raise our children in our homes. We must make, therefore, spiritual decisions. One such principle for decision making in parenting is the principle that is an application of this text this morning. And this principle is not just one principle among many principles that are out there, or even among many principles in the Scriptures. But this principle is the main principle that we must use, the main priority we must think of as we raise our children in Christian homes. The principle is this: bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. This principle must govern every decision that we make in the raising of our children. Am I bringing them to Jesus Christ in the best way that I possibly can? As the text will explain, this is what we do, first of all, in baptism. At the very beginning of our children's lives, we bring them to Jesus Christ to be blessed. And this bringing them to Jesus must set the tone for the way we raise them all their childhood long. Are we bringing them to Jesus Christ in the way we're raising them in our homes? Bring them to me, says Jesus Christ, in answer to the summons, to the call that I give in this text. Suffer the little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God. The theme of the sermon this morning is Jesus summons the children. Jesus summons the children. Let's notice first the meaning. Second, the reason. Why does Jesus summon the children to him? And third, the manner, the way in which the children come to Jesus. The meaning, the reason, and the manner. Jesus says here in this text that the disciples and all who are around them in this historical context of the text, and all in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, are to allow the children to come to him. Suffer or allow the children to come to me and forbid them not, the text says. The word translated suffer is a word that means do not hinder, allow, permit them, give them permission to come to me. Now, the first question we need to ask with regard to this text is whether or not the Lord Jesus, in calling the children to himself, is setting forth a principle here for the kingdom of Jesus Christ for all ages. Because many will take this text to mean that all Jesus is saying is that the parents should be free to do what they want with their children. It says, allow them, suffer them to come to me. They say, therefore, that all Jesus is doing is giving a principle of freedom. He's saying it's a free world. Disciples, who are you to stop them? They're free. They can do what they want. If they want to bring them to me, they can. If they don't, that's fine. There's freedom there. But certainly, beloved, if we examine the text a bit, we see that Jesus is setting forth a principle here regarding the children coming to him, a principle that is to be established in the church of Jesus Christ for all ages. We could prove that in two ways. First, that's proved from the fact that in the text, not only does Jesus allow or permit the children to come to him, but he commands them to come to him. He summons them to come to him. The text says Jesus called or summoned them to him, saying, allow the children to come to me. So he's not just allowing them, giving them the freedom, but he's calling them, he's commanding them. That's significant. It indicates, therefore, that this is what Jesus desires. This is what he wants. This is a principle that he is setting forth for all ages in the history of the church, that the children be brought to him. He commands them. He summons them. This is his will. And by the power of his call and spirit, he calls them to come to him. Second, we can prove that when Jesus allows the children to come to him, this is a principle for the church in all ages because of the fact that there is a connection in the text between Jesus allowing the children to come to him and the kingdom of God. Notice that in the text. Of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus is setting forth a principle here about the kingdom of God generally. He's saying that the kingdom of God is this way, that children come to him in the kingdom. Of such, made up of these children, is the kingdom of God. There can be no doubt, therefore, that Jesus himself is commanding that these children be brought to him now, at this time, but also in all ages, today in the year 2010, in the history of the church. This is to be the norm. This is the principle, that the children be brought to him in the kingdom of Christ. Who are these children that are being brought to Jesus in the text? Interestingly, there's a range of ages of these children in the text. Many of these children, however, are infants, newborn babies. When the text says they brought to him also infants, the word for infants is a word that means specifically newborn babies. They brought newborn babies. But also children of other ages. Later on, when Jesus says, suffer little children to come to me, the word translated children is broader. It means children could be newborn babies. It could include toddlers, 3 to 4. It could include all the way up to children who are going through puberty, 10 to 12, 13 years old. So there's a broad range of children that are coming to Jesus here, from newborn babies all the way up to teenage years. But the emphasis in the text is on the newborn babies. They get their own word. Allow the children to come to me, but also the infants, says Jesus in the text. Infants, even, are to come to Jesus Christ. And we are to understand that infants are to be brought to him and must not be forbidden. Why are they to be brought to Jesus? They are to come to Jesus for blessing. This is why the parents in the text brought them in the first place. The text says they sought Jesus to touch their children. And the book of Mark, chapter 10, makes the connection for us between touching and blessing. It says he took them up into his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. This touching was a sign of the reality of the fact that Jesus blessed these children. He loved them. He wanted them to receive the blessing of God. His touching them was an external sign, a visible sign of the reality that they were being blessed, that they were favored of Jesus Christ Himself. And this is what the parents wanted when they brought their children to Jesus to be touched. They didn't just want Him to touch them. It wasn't just some superstitious thing that He could place His hands on them. But they wanted the reality of what that signified. They wanted to know that Jesus received their children, that He loved them, that He wanted them, that He blessed them. This was a sign. As Jesus touches these children, it was administered to them by virtue of the fact that they were part of the covenant and kingdom of God. They were children of the church, children of the covenant. Jesus did not summon every child to come to Him, but He suffered these children, children of parents in Israel, believing parents, parents who wanted their children to be blessed by Jesus Christ, parents who understood the covenant of grace, parents whose hearts were alive, aflame with the promises of God that were given in the Old Testament, children of parents who knew that when God said to Abraham that His covenant would be with them and with their seed, that now they were to bring their children to be blessed of Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. Just as Jesus called these children in the text to come be blessed of Him, so Jesus calls our children to be blessed of Him in infant baptism. As the sign was administered to these children in the text of the laying on of hands, so the sign of the sprinkling of water is administered to the children of the covenant in baptism. And as the reality of Jesus' love and blessing was upon at least some of those children there in the text, so the reality of Jesus' love and favor is upon the elect of our children brought to baptism. This is where we bring them when we bring them to baptism, to Jesus Christ to be blessed. We don't bring them to the minister. We don't bring them even to the church. We bring them to the arms of Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ can lay His hands upon them and bless them with His eternal love. There was opposition to this. There was opposition to the coming of the children to be blessed by Jesus Christ. And notice that the opposition was from within the church. It's the disciples who were against what was going on here. The disciples were the ones who didn't like it. The text says that they were actually rebuking these parents who were bringing their children. They were forbidding them. They were forcibly commanding them to stop doing it. It wasn't just that Jesus and His disciples were sort of walking through a crowd of people and they were kind of trying to avoid the parents with children. But the text says that the disciples were actually standing there forbidding these parents with children from coming to Jesus. Picture it in your minds that they had their arms up and they're trying to hold them back, forcibly keeping them from bringing their children to Jesus Christ to be blessed. And the text says that it was specifically the infants that really set the disciples off here. There were parents who were bringing many different ages of children to Jesus. As I said, 3, 4, all the way up to teenage years. But notice what Luke says in the text. Also infants. But when they brought also or even infants, the disciples could handle the fact They didn't like it. But maybe some 3-4-year-olds, some 9-10-year-olds could come before Jesus. At least they understood what was going on. They could talk. They could hear what Jesus was saying. But as soon as the people started to bring infants, newborn babies to Jesus, that really set the disciples off. Even infants, says the text. When they saw that, they said, no way. This is crossing the line here. These children don't really understand what's going on. It's just some superstitious thing. You want them to be touched by Jesus Christ. Let the people that have real issues going on in their lives come forward and speak to Jesus. These infants can't understand. They can't talk. They can't even think. They don't know what's going on. This is the line. This is the last straw for the disciples. Children, we don't like it, but okay. But infants, no way. Get them out of here. They're not to be brought before Jesus Christ. Many are still opposed to the bringing of infants to Jesus Christ. Many are opposed to bringing children to Jesus Christ. But it's especially when you talk about bringing infants to Jesus Christ that they, like the disciples, really start to object. Baptists. And you understand there are two different kind of Baptists. There are Arminian Baptists and there are Calvinistic Baptists. But Baptists have this in common, that they do not bring their children for blessing to Jesus Christ in infant baptism. By that I don't mean to say that they don't ever raise their children in the fear of the Lord. Many of them do. But even if they do, their view of the children is different than Jesus' view of the church's children here in Luke chapter 18. In one very important sense, they do not bring their children to Jesus to be blessed. In infant baptism, they refuse to bring them to Jesus Christ. And their argument is the same as the disciples here. They don't understand. These infants, they can't talk. They can't really know what's going on. What's the point of bringing infants to Jesus Christ to be blessed? They don't get it. Why bring them to the visible sign and seal of the covenant of grace? They don't understand the covenant promise that's given to the church's children. They don't understand the promises of God given throughout all the ages and to the parents now. They forbid, in this sense, they forbid their children to grow up thinking that Jesus favors them and wants them as His children. The Baptist looks at his child as a child that is not under the grace of God until he comes to a certain age and can therefore choose to be blessed himself. To the Baptist, and this is the rub, Jesus himself is not allowed to favor the children of the kingdom, even if he wants to. They forbid them. Like the disciples, they put up their arms and hold the children back from being brought to Jesus in infant baptism. My beloved, in another sense, we too can, like the disciples, forbid the children from coming to Jesus Christ in baptism. We can do that by not coming in faith. We can do that by not bringing our children in faith. We can do that by thinking that this is just a ritual. This is just something that we do. We can do that by not really understanding what is going on here and not understanding that Jesus Christ Himself calls our children to be blessed in infant baptism. Baptism of infants, beloved, is not just some nice option you can get in a church. And it's not just something that we in our tradition do. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ commands of parents in the covenant of grace. He loves the infants of the covenant, and He will have them blessed by Him. And he'll do that for a specific reason. The reason Jesus desires the children to come to him and to be blessed by him is given in the text in the last two phrases. Of such are the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever will not receive the kingdom of heaven as a child will not enter into it. Why does Jesus want the children to come to him so badly to be blessed? Why does he want them and command them to come to him so badly in the text that he's willing to publicly rebuke his disciples in front of everyone? It's because of this. Of such are the kingdom of heaven. That means two things. The reason why Jesus wants our children to come and be blessed by him is for two reasons. First, the children must be brought to him because they are a picture in their character as children of how we must come before Christ. The first reason why Jesus wants us to bring our children to be blessed by him in infant baptism is to be a picture, an example to us. When Jesus says, of such are the kingdom of heaven, he is first saying that those who are like children in their spiritual character, who are humbled and dependent before God, those are the ones who are citizens of the kingdom of God. Young children are humble and dependent. They're selfish pretty much from day one, but they're not really proud, are they? They're very dependent upon their parents and very humble. They come and they come to infant baptism brought up, not having done anything to deserve it. They haven't done any works. They're not even able to do any works, really. This is a picture for you and for me. Picture for the church that we must see. That this is the way we come to Christ day after day in our lives. One cannot receive the kingdom of God as a proud man, as someone who is puffed up. He must humble himself and see his sin. And he must understand that it is not those who have done the most. It's not those who know the most. It's not those who have everything worked out perfectly that are received into the kingdom of God. But it is those who by God's grace are as little children, who are humbled, who see themselves as nothing, and who come with nothing in their hands to bring, who simply come to receive of the free grace of God. Jesus teaches us this when the children are being brought up. And this is what we must see as a congregation. When Mike and Kim bring Addison up to be baptized, we must think about this, that we too come to Christ as an infant. The kingdom is not received by those who are puffed up. But that's not enough. It's not enough of a reason why Jesus calls the children unto him. There has to be more of a reason why Jesus calls the children to him, because Jesus is giving a reason in this text why the children not only come to him, but why they are blessed. Jesus does not bless pictures. Children coming in infant baptism are to be a picture to us of who we are spiritually as adults, of the faith that we must have as infants, as little children. But that's not enough, because Jesus does not actually put his blessing upon mere pictures. When Jesus teaches his parables, he does not lay his hands on the sheep and on the goats that he uses as illustrations for his teaching. He does not bring into his arms and actually bless all of the things and all of the people that he refers to as illustrations when he teaches. He blesses those whom he loves And therefore, there is something else going on here, more than just that the children are a picture to us. What's going on is that when Jesus says, "Of such are the kingdom of heaven," He's not only saying that of such character are the kingdom of heaven, but He is saying of these children, these actual children are the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is made up of these children. That's what He's saying. These children and their very persons make up the kingdom of God. These children receive the laying on of hands in the text and the sprinkling of baptism now, because they are in fact in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is built up, made up of these children. There were elect children there that Jesus laid His hands on. There were regenerated children there that Jesus laid His hands on. At least some, if not all, were already in the kingdom of God. That's why He blesses them. He would not have actually blessed them if they were not in the kingdom, made up of the kingdom already. After Pentecost, Peter gives us the promise of God that had always been the promise of God in the beginning. These parents in Luke chapter 18 that bring their children to Jesus to be blessed brought them because God had promised in the beginning that the covenant is with them and with their children. Peter repeated that at Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 39. "The promise is still," Peter said, "to you and to your children. Thus we bring our children too today to baptism, to be blessed of Jesus Christ as a sign of the reality that they are indeed loved because they are part of the kingdom of God." They receive the outward sign. They receive the outward sign of blessing. And the elect among them receive the reality of Jesus' love for them. They receive the outward sign of blessing in baptism. And the elect among them, which we pray is every single one of them that we bring, receives the reality of the blessing and favor and love of God. This is why Jesus commands that we bring them to Him in baptism. Because the elect among them are in the kingdom, are regenerated. Because He has worked in many of them already. Let us not, therefore, forbid them to come to Him. Let us not wait until they are older so that we think we can be sure that they are Christians, because we can never be 100% sure ourselves. Even Baptists that baptize people that confess Christ later in life baptize some who fall away from the faith. Let us trust God. Let us obey God. Let us bring our children to be blessed of Jesus Christ, and those that are His among them will receive the reality of the sign of His love and His favor. Jesus summons these children in the text to Himself in a specific manner. He summons the children not only to come to Him, but to be brought to Him. When the text says at the beginning, "But Jesus summoned them," saying, the "them" there is certainly the children. Jesus summoned the children, saying. However, He summoned the children by means of summoning their parents to bring them to Him. Many of these children were newborn babies. How are newborn babies going to come to Him if they are not brought by their parents? They must be brought. Therefore, the summoning is not only the summoning of the children, but it's a calling, a summoning of the parents to bring their children to Jesus Christ. The parents, by the command of King Jesus, bring their children to be blessed. Bring them to Me, Jesus says, to us as parents and as the Church of Jesus Christ. Bring them to Me, says Jesus, to the parents at the baptismal font. Bring them to Me in infant baptism. and bring them. Bring them to me to be blessed. All of the years of their childhood as they grow up. This is also what Jesus says when he summons the children to be brought to him. Bring them to me as they grow up. That's the significance of the fact that there were more than just newborn babies being brought to Jesus. Remember, there were also 3, 4 toddlers, 5, 6, 10, all the way up to puberty, 12, 13, teenage years. Bring them. All throughout childhood, we must bring them to Jesus Christ. We must teach them to love Jesus Christ. We must teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. We must teach them to appropriate what we are teaching them about Jesus Christ themselves personally. We must teach them to repent of their own sins personally, to believe in Jesus Christ, to love Him and to serve Him out of gratitude for what He's given to them. We must teach them in such a way that this becomes theirs, that it's real for them personally, that they know that this is not just something we believe, but it's something that they are a part of personally as they know Jesus Christ and learn to trust Him and to love Him and to bring their sins to Him. If we do not do this, we forbid them. As the disciples forbid the children from coming to Jesus, we forbid the children to come to Him if we do not raise them in everything that we do to be blessed by Jesus Christ. What a mockery. What a mockery to the sign and seal of infant baptism. If we bring them to be gathered into the arms of Jesus Christ for blessing at the beginning of their life in the sacrament, but then all their childhood long, we bring them instead to be gathered into the arms of the world, to be blessed by the world. What a mockery that is. That shows that we never desired Jesus' blessing in the sacrament of baptism. Never understood what His favor was all about. We must raise them to be blessed by Jesus Christ. Beloved, if as we raise them, anything is more of a concern to us than that they be brought to Jesus Christ for blessing, we actively forbid them, just as the disciples did here, from coming to Christ. If we raise them, and anything is more important to us than that we bring them to Jesus Christ to be blessed all their young lives long, we barricade them from the Lord Jesus Christ. In favoring the children in baptism, Jesus says, I will favor them all their young life long. Bring them to me. Bring them to me to be blessed. Bring them to me in the way you teach them, in the way you raise them. Baptism is the beginning for Addison Shea of a childhood of being brought to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let this be ever the priority and ever the principle. Am I bringing my child to Jesus in the best way that I possibly can? When we deal with all of the questions that we must face as parents, the TV in the home, the internet in the home, we must decide if mother should work outside of the home when we have children at home. When we think about how to teach them, and when we decide what high school to send them to, let this be the principle. Am I bringing them to Jesus Christ in the best way that I possibly can? The Scriptures do not give us, for everything, a list of all the right decisions to make as we raise our children. For some things they do. For most things, the Scriptures do not give us a list of the answers to all the decisions that we must make. What the Scriptures do is tell us this. Bring them to me. Bring them to me in the best way that you possibly can. As you stand before me as parents, you stand before me with this responsibility. Am I bringing them to Jesus Christ in the best way that I possibly can? This is what we must answer. Honestly, before the face of God, this is what we must think about. This is what we must pray about. As we make decisions as parents, then we can live with clear conscience before the face of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual decision to be made. All the decisions we make in the raising of our children. This is the parents' calling. This is the church's calling. Let us work for this. If we love our children, let us bring them to Jesus Christ all their life long. Be blessed by Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that Jesus loves our children. Give us the spiritual ability to bring them to the feet of Jesus Christ in the best way that we can. In His name, amen.